today on The Balanced Word.
Anytime you feel pinched, anytime you feel pressured, it's almost always there is a system that is actually putting pressure on you. And so Jesus says, what I want to prepare you for is to be living in a world whereby you will be pressured by the system, the association, them, those, that organized structure, whatever it is, and for you to be able to find peace in the middle of that pressure.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
We continue to follow Jesus on his road to the cross here on The Balanced Word. Welcome to the program. Pastor Dave Rolfe is leading us through the Gospel of John right now. And today we find Christ preparing his disciples for what's ahead of them. In just a few short hours, Jesus would be on the cross, and he would be leaving them. But he would not leave them alone, for his Holy Spirit would soon enter the scene. Just as he would help them through life, oh, he's our great helper too. We'll be covering John chapter 16.
16th chapter of John, as we go through the Gospel of John, taking a chapter each week, we've come to this 16th chapter. John 14, 15, and 16 are the last teachings of Jesus to his disciples before he went to the cross. John 16 especially is him wrapping it up and going, here's what you need to know to deal with life without me. And he isn't just, in these chapters, he isn't just preparing them for the fact that he will die and then 3 days later raised from the dead, but it's extending it much further into, what are you going to do when I'm not there anymore? How are you going to live your lives when it's just you and I am with the Father? And so it's really important stuff, because that's the position that we're in. Let's face it, we follow a guy who doesn't live here anymore. We follow a Jesus who we have never seen, most of us. There are some people who claim to have seen him, you know, maybe in a cloud formation or when you were drunk or something. But, you know, for the most part, it's like, hey, I haven't seen him, but he is what my whole life is about. So how do we deal with that? How do we handle it? John 16 gives us a good survey of what we need to be aware of to deal with life apart from Jesus' physical presence actually being here. And let's begin at the end with verse 33, the last verse of the chapter, because this is really where Jesus sums up everything he's been trying to tell them for three chapters. All of this preparation comes down to this summary verse where he says, John 16, 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. I want you to have peace. I don't want you to be upset. In the world, you will have tribulation. The word there for tribulation means pressure. But be of good cheer, or have courage. I have overcome the world. Now, we talked about last week the way that Jesus uses the term that's translated world. In his case, for the disciples, he's referring primarily to the Jewish religious system. But the word that's translated world, cosmos in the Greek, it really just means an organized system. So this refers to, by saying the world, it's referring to any system. In their day, in the early church, it was the religious system of the Jews who were persecuting them. Later on, the Roman government was the system that was making things difficult for Christians. You keep going through history, there are different groups of people, whether it's the Muslims with their crusades, or whether it's the reformers who are trying to clean house if everyone wasn't reformed, or, you know, whoever it is that's treating somebody else in a way that puts pressure on you, not allowing you to just be simply who you are in Jesus, that's a system. And there are a lot of systems. There are religious systems, there are government systems, there are cultural systems, there are economic systems. anytime you feel pinched, anytime you feel pressured, it's almost always there is a system that is actually putting pressure on you. And so Jesus says, what I want to prepare you for is to be living in a world whereby you will be pressured by the system, the association, them, those, that organized structure, whatever it is, and for you to be able to find peace in the middle of that pressure. And on the basis of that is that, yes, it's going to be difficult. Yes, it's going to be painful. But know this, whatever the system tries to do to you, I have overcome the system. I am greater than, I have victory over the religious systems, the political systems, the economic systems. When you read your Bible, if you read the book of Revelation, a lot of that is the story of Jesus, you know, one institution at a time, wiping out the system and setting his people free. So that's what Jesus wants them to understand. If you don't have peace, it's probably because of the pressure of one system or another, but I win. I overcome the systems. I overcome what's pressuring you. And so be of good cheer. Don't give in. Don't be frustrated. Don't quit. Don't give up. Now, as we look back in this chapter, he kind of systematically takes them through this whole idea and gives us reasons why we shouldn't let the system just drive us nuts or drive us underground. In beginning with the first four verses, he speaks specifically, like he had in chapter 15, about their religious system that was persecuting them. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues, the religious system. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. He said, while I'm with you, you feel pretty secure and you feel pretty safe. But I need you to understand that when I go, people who hated me will hate you. And they will do whatever they can do to pressure you. Now, why? What? How much of a threat is Jesus? And why in the world would just because you want to live outside the ordinary system, why is that such a threat? Why is it that they think they're actually doing the work of the Lord by trying to destroy you? Well, every system operates based on the principle of controlling people. So whenever there is someone who lives outside the controlling system, they are a threat to the system. And you believe we need to stop them because they threaten our system. And that was, in fact, what they would face. And in the case of these Jewish leaders, they really thought they were doing God a favor by killing Jesus and by punishing his followers because they wouldn't go along with the system. But Jesus doesn't call us to a system. He doesn't call us to an organization. He doesn't call us to a structure. But because of that, Jesus says, the structure, the cosmos, the world will be threatened by you, threatened by your simplicity. They survive based on complexity. So when you choose to live simply, that threatens them greatly. So then he goes on and he begins in verse 5 to talk about the Holy Spirit and the fact that the Holy Spirit plays a huge part in our being able to not get swallowed up by the system. But now I go away to you, verse 5. I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. You're bummed that I'm going away. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Before he had told them, when I say I'm going away to the Father, you ought to be happy for me, because it's a blessing for me to get back with my father. But now he's saying, not only is it best for me, this is best for you, because now the Holy Spirit will come upon you. As the Holy Spirit did on the day of Pentecost, and from then on the Holy Spirit was with them, he goes, when you think it's the end, you know, when you're watching me ascending up into heaven, that's the best thing that could happen to you. Because as I go to heaven, the Holy Spirit will come down in a really powerful and a unique way. And he begins to kind of lay that out. This is to your advantage. In verse 8, and when he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will convict or convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Let's stop there for a minute. He says, you look at the world system and you feel overwhelmed. And you think it's your responsibility to battle against the world. He says, that's not your battle. You aren't supposed to be responsible for breaking the system. You're not responsible for destroying the system, for even making sure that you put enough information out there that people will see the system for what it is. He says the Holy Spirit's going to be taking care of the system. The Holy Spirit's going to be taking care of the world. And here's what he does. He will convince people within the system of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And he says there, of sin because they don't believe in me, righteousness because I go to my Father and you don't see him anymore, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So here's what Jesus is saying. The Holy Spirit will take the systems, take the worldly organization, that structure that is putting pressure on you, and he will convince them about the reality of sin. Now you go, I don't know. How is he doing that? Well, the word sin, hamartia, is a word that means something other than, something less than, or something that is not fulfilling. Something that is, you do things that cause you to miss your best opportunity at life. Everything that you do has the potential of being something that takes away from what God's best is for you. That's what hamartia is. Sometimes people say, you know, it's missing the mark, and it's true, not getting the prize, not living life, or as Paul describes it, you know, missing out on the glory of God, coming short of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit is working within people who don't know Jesus and allowing them to see that they're missing something, that there's something in their life, and they may show that awareness in different ways, like desperately trying to conquer addictions or really wanting to make it a world whereby people, you know, the whole legal system, trying to make more and more and more rules to try to stop people from doing bad things. See, the world realizes that we are prone to self-destruction. That's why we have so many laws. That's why everyone who ever runs for office does so at least partly out of the thing of, I'm going to stop the bad guys. Well, the Holy Spirit is working within the system, over and above the system, to at least let people see sin. Let people see there's something here that's just not right. There's something here that's broken. So everyone in this world who is working on trying to stop those things that are bad, the Holy Spirit is working in that, because understanding that we've sinned, understanding that we are missing what we could have and who we could be, is the influence of the Holy Spirit that's doing that. And again, we don't have to do that. It isn't our job to convince people that they've sinned. They're figuring it out on their own as the Holy Spirit works in their lives. But also, he says, of righteousness, because I go to be with the Father. When Jesus was there, they had a perfect standard for the way to live life right, the way to live life perfectly. Once he leaves, now none of us can say, look at me, and you will see somebody who's doing it right. you can say, look at me, and you'll see somebody who's really trying to do it right. I'm doing it more right than I used to do. But they need the Holy Spirit to allow them to see what righteousness, what right living, what good actually looks like. And the Holy Spirit does that. If you think about before you were a Christian, if you remember what that was like, there are certainly moments, and there are for people who don't even believe in a God, there are moments when it's like, whoa, I just saw a little flash of good that spoke to me, like that made me feel like there's something more here. It might be when a baby is born. It might be when you fall in love. It may be when you're playing sports and you have a big game, or when you listen to a piece of music and it just touches you and you're like, wow, that feels like it's coming out of nowhere. But if I'm looking at what is right, what is the way life really ought to be, we always have those moments. We have those little sparks. Well, the Holy Spirit is working within the system. Again, like, how much would we have without systems that are operating? And yet he's working on the system, over the system, through the system, in order to help people to see flashes of right, flashes of goodness. And it's, you know, it's the goodness of God that brings us ultimately to repentance. It's not realizing how bad you are. Knowing sin only takes you so far, then it will usually leave you in despair. But seeing good, seeing right, seeing a life that inspires us, maybe somebody that we know that just lives life well and they die and you hear the stories about them and you're like, wow, that's what life is supposed to look like. That's the Holy Spirit working on a system that is broken, a system that will never provide that, but allowing people to see there's something else here besides just what I know. Even people who are pretty strongly persuaded that it's all about physics, it's all about science, it's all about biology, most of them can still say, but man, there are some things that just seem to go beyond that. I think it was Albert Einstein who said, there are two fundamental mistakes that people make in life. One, some people think that everything is a miracle. And he said, and other people make the mistake of thinking that nothing is a miracle. And I think that's a pretty good picture of someone who, although he may not have responded to the Holy Spirit in the way that he could have, he's at least acknowledging, wow, there are things that make us say wow in this world, in this universe, that we cannot explain scientifically. So Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will be doing that. And then ultimately convicting the world, convincing the world of judgment, helping people to see that something actually needs to happen, where there is some evil that not only is evil and we acknowledge it and it's contrasted with the good, but sometimes it just needs to be stopped. Someone has to step in. And when that happens, that's the Holy Spirit. Somewhere down the road, something has to be judged. Something needs to take place that stops this evil. And so he says, you will benefit from the fact that the Holy Spirit is working. While I've been here, Jesus would say, yeah, I've talked about sin, I've talked about righteousness, demonstrated it, and I've warned about judgment. But when the Holy Spirit comes, see, Jesus could only, because he confined himself to a human body, he could only be in one place at a time. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere doing this work, convicting of sin, declaring the beauty of righteousness, allowing people to be aware of how important judgment is someday. And he goes, that's actually better for you. But I'm also glad that he doesn't say, and this is your job to do. A lot of times when we think that it's the job of the church to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, then all we do is become a system. All we do is set up another structure. The Holy Spirit's doing that work, and we need to let him do his work. Now, he will use sometimes people within the system. Thank God that he does. But at the same time, it's his work. It's not ours. You can't talk someone in to knowing that they need Jesus. You can't convince people to submit to him. His job is to convince them, and he does that regularly, and he will do that constantly. But he goes on and says, I got a lot of things I could talk to you about, but you can't bear them right now. Verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So in two respects, the Holy Spirit is on the one hand working on the system that Jesus has overcome, whatever system that is. But as he is working in that way, the Holy Spirit is also living inside of us, those who have accepted Jesus Christ. And so he is telling us the truth. He is allowing us to see the difference between the lies that the system creates and the truth of what God's word says, of what Jesus has told us. And so he will lead us, he will teach us, he will speak to us. And he says, in a way that, and there's a little irony here, because when it says that when Jesus was talking to them, there's a lot he couldn't tell them. There's a lot they didn't understand. It was sort of mystifying. But he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to understand a lot more than you do now.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com. Or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. With the rest of today's message titled Overcoming, here again is Pastor Dave.
And then he goes on and he says, verse 16, a little while and you'll not see me, and again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. Some of the disciples are like, what's he talking about? And Jesus knew in verse 19 that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. So he says, when I'm gone and the Holy Spirit's here, it's still going to hurt. Everything that's valuable, it hurts to get there. And he gives the example of a child being born. It hurts like crazy to bear a child. Oh, you're all excited beforehand, maybe a little bit of labor, you know, a little pain, but ultimately it's like, yeah, it's kind of miserable. But man, having the baby, that's horrible pain. But he says, as soon as the baby's born, you're like, you forget all about the pain because the joy is so great. And so he's saying, yeah, life is going to hurt, but what comes out of that is so rewarding. It's like bringing a life into the world. It's going to make it all worthwhile. And he says, and then you'll be able to pray to the Father in my name, and he's going to answer your prayers. And you're going to forget all about how hard it was as you walk with him and as he works in your life.
We'll save the rest of this message for you next time on The Balanced Word as Dave Rolfe revisits John chapter 16. Read ahead and join us then. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And